The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 59, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 22, 2007, in Tallinn, Estonia.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to this program of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we are going to study the ultimate knowledge, that highest truth which is reality distinguished from illusion. Such truth destroys all the miseries of material existence. In this connection, we will be reading today from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 59. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina. Prasavarjang rasopiyashya parang drishvanivartate. Translation. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, etc. is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, the restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadhantikam. So, Srila Prabhupada has very nicely stated here the most amazing concept. He talks about tasting the beauty of Krishna. You ever think about that? Tasting the beauty of Krishna? That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's a science of how to taste the beauty of Krishna. Actually, there's nobody more beautiful than Krishna. Krishna is the supreme beautiful. That's why the gopis are all totally madly in love with him. There's no more beautiful boy than Krishna. There's no more charming flute player than Krishna. There's no one whose smile is sweeter than Krishna. There's no one who can crack funnier jokes than Krishna. There is no one more clever than Krishna. There is no one who speaks more languages than Krishna. He is the supreme multilinguist. He can even speak the language of the birds. So Krishna is truly amazing. And he's so amazing that every aspect of his personality is beautiful. Every aspect of his personality is beautiful. In this material world, if somebody is a thief, if he steals, that's considered a very bad, very ugly thing. But when Krishna steals, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. If a soldier runs away from the battlefield, he's considered a coward. They can shoot him, actually, for being a deserter. But when Krishna runs away from the battlefield, Ranchur, he is considered also beautiful. So actually there's nobody more beautiful than Krishna. If somebody asks you, how do you know that Krishna is God? You simply tell them there's no one more beautiful than Krishna. There's no one more attractive than Krishna. So therefore he must be God. So, how do we develop that taste for Krishna's beauty? That is called the science of Krishna consciousness. It is also known as Bhakti Yoga. There are many, many different types of yogas. There is Karma Yoga. There is Jnana Yoga. There is Ashtanga Yoga. Actually, Prabhupada mentions the Eightfold Ranged Yoga here in his purport. It's interesting, he gives seven of the rungs. So he gives seven out of the eight rungs on the yoga ladder. The final rung is samadhi, but instead of saying samadhi, Prabhupada says, etc. Who can understand the mind of the pure devotee? It makes studying Prabhupada's books very interesting. Prabhupada is a perfect manifestation of Krishna. The pure devotee is described shakshat dharitvena samasta shastraya. He is directly Hari. So just as Krishna is very beautiful, just as Krishna is the most beautiful and amazing person, Krishna's pure devotees have the same potency, the same shakti. They are amazing to see in action. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet. Everything about Srila Prabhupada was beautiful. The way he would speak. The way he would honor prasadam. The way he would turn his head when he was speaking. Everything about Prabhupada was simply wonderful. Because he had the shakti of Krishna. So that person who possesses the shakti of Krishna, he can spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. This is called Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. That unless one has the Shakti of Krishna, one cannot spread this Krishna consciousness movement everywhere. So, let us get back to the main point here. The main point is that we must learn how to taste the beauty of Krishna. What is the secret of how we can taste the beauty of Krishna at every minute? There is one society which has been formed for this purpose. It is known as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And they call it ISKCON for short. The purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to help or facilitate the members developing a taste for the beauty of Krishna. Right now, we do have a taste for beauty. But what is that taste we have now for beauty? The man, he wants to see a beautiful woman. And the woman, she wants to see a handsome, attractive man. You see? That is our taste at the present moment. Have you ever seen that animal called the ostrich? You know, ostrich?
It's a bird, right?
Yeah, the bird with the knobby knees and the big... Have you ever seen the ostrich bird? How silly and funny he looks, you see. Everyone has seen the ostrich bird or a picture of the ostrich bird? You have all seen? Everyone has seen? Yes or no? Everyone knows about the ostrich bird? So anyway, just consider... when the male ostrich, when he sees the female ostrich, Even though she has the long legs with the scales all over it. And the funny looking nose and the funny looking feathers. When the male ostrich sees that female ostrich, she just falls in love, you see. Ah, Juliet, Romeo and Juliet.
Juliet.
And when the female ostrich sees the male ostrich, she thinks, oh, my hero. So in this way, we are enamored by the beauty of this material existence. Especially in the form of the opposite sex. We are thinking, oh, so wonderful, so beautiful, so handsome, so delightful. But what is that beauty? There is a saying in English language. I don't know if you have it in your Russian and Estonian language. The saying is, beauty is only skin deep. Is that it? Do you have that in Estonian language also? That saying, beauty is only skin deep?
I don't know exactly.
In Russian, do they have that saying, beauty is only skin deep? No, it's only in English. So that means, beauty only goes as deep as the skin. The skin is very thin, you see. So once you get beyond the skin, the beauty comes to an end. Becomes very gross and ugly. Blood, mucus, you know. Mucus, you know, veins, stool, urine, vomit, and so many wonderful, delightful things. If you took all the ingredients of a human body and you put them in a plastic bag and you put it on somebody's front door, they would call the police to get rid of it. You see? But we are thinking, ah, oh, beautiful. So we have to go beyond this material existence. To find the actual beauty. Do you know why we find the material nature to be beautiful? Do you know why we find the material nature to be beautiful? We find it to be beautiful because it is a reflection of the spiritual world. Just like the reflection of a beautiful woman is very beautiful. Even though you cannot embrace her, her reflection is very beautiful. You may try to embrace her reflection, but you will get nowhere. So her reflection is very beautiful. So this material world is simply reflection of the beautiful spiritual world. Therefore, it looks like it's very wonderful. But just as when you try to embrace the reflection of that beautiful woman, you get nowhere. When you try to enjoy this material world, you get nowhere. When you try to enjoy this place, what do you get? You get birth. You get death. You get old age. You get disease. You get taxes. You get rascal politicians. You get so many problems. So therefore, we have to find where is the source from which the beauty is coming. What makes that sunrise so beautiful? What makes that woman so beautiful? What makes everything so attractive in this world? That is the source from which all the beauty is coming. That is the most beautiful. The most attractive. And that has been described by Parashara Muni. Parashara Muni says that you can understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by this test. He said, whoever possesses these things in greater quantity than anyone else, that person is God. The great Parashara Muni has listed all those qualities which are attractive in this world. The first one is power. Second one is beauty. Third one is renunciation. The fourth one is knowledge. The fifth one is wealth. And the sixth one is fame. So these are the qualities that attract us in this world. If someone is very powerful, that attracts us. Just like, for example, George Bush, he's powerful, he's the President of the United States. So if he came through the door to attend the Sunday lecture, everyone would look to see, oh, George Bush has come. Actually, it would be nice if he came. Oh, that's not him. The second one is beauty. If Miss Estonia comes through the door, we'll all want to see, oh, Miss Estonia has come. The most beautiful girl in all of Estonia has come. Let us see how beautiful she is. And the third is renunciation. If someone is very renounced, like Mahatma Gandhi, then if he comes, we will want to see, oh, Mahatma Gandhi has come. And the fourth quality is knowledge. Just like if Albert Einstein came to our program, we'd all want to see, who is this man who understood that E equals MC squared? And as far as wealth, well, if Bill Gates shows up at the Sunday feast, the temple president will become very happy. Maybe he will give a nice donation in the donation box. Certainly for him, one billion crowns would not be that much. And the last quality is fame. If Paul McCartney showed up from the Beatles, everybody, oh, Paul McCartney has come, you see. So wherever we see power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame, we are attracted. So just consider a person who has more power, more beauty, more renunciation. More power, beauty, renunciation. More knowledge, more wealth, and more fame than anyone else, you see. That is God. according to Parashara Muni. So how will we find out who that person is? You can, if you want to, you can search far and wide looking for that person. You can go knocking on doors here in Tallinn and you can say, my dear sir, do you have more power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth and fame than anyone else? You could go searching far and wide to look for that person who has more power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth and fame than anyone else. And you may never find that person. But the great sages of India have made it easy for us. With their great, powerful spiritual vision, they have understood who is that person. And all we have to do is take their word for it. That person is Krishna. Now, if you doubt the sages, then you can try to come up with someone else and compare him with Krishna and see if how well he competes with Krishna. Does anyone here have another option that someone else could be the supreme besides Krishna? Can you give an example, anyone? If you would like to introduce that someone else is the supreme higher than Krishna, does anyone else have a competitive candidate for the position of God? Does anyone have? Who? Radharani. So is Radharani the supreme? That's the question. Well, it is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita and confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that Krishna is the source of everything that exists. In the authoritative scriptures, it is stated that Srimati Radharani is the Hladini Shakti of Krishna. This means that she depends on Krishna for her very existence. This means that Krishna is more powerful than Radharani actually. He manifests her out of his desire to enjoy. Srimati Radharani does not manifest Krishna. So actually she is less powerful than Krishna in the highest existential sense. However, in the matter of transcendental pastime, Krishna, in his desire to enjoy unlimited happiness, places himself under the control of his devotees. He allows himself to be controlled by Srimati Radharani. He allows himself to be controlled by Mother Yashoda. He allows himself to be controlled by Arjuna. And if you become his pure devotee, he will allow himself to become controlled by you also. But that is his transcendental pastime. And that does not mean that you are God, that Radharani is God, that Mother Yashoda is God, or Arjuna is God. Because these transcendental relationships all exist because of the mercy of Krishna. So in this way, if we dive deeper and deeper into the science of Krishna consciousness, we will become more and more amazed by the transcendental qualities of Krishna. And gradually, gradually, slowly, slowly, the beautiful things of this material world will start to appear very pale and insignificant. When you compare them to the beauty of Krishna. So how can we easily express, how can we easily experience the beauty of Krishna at every minute? Do you know the secret of how to do that? I'll give you a hint. It is given in the Brihad Naradiya Purana. Now do you know the secret of how to taste the beauty of Krishna at every minute? Just in case you are not learned in the Brihad Naradiya Purana, I will tell you. There is a wonderful verse there which gives the secret of how you can taste the beauty of Krishna at every minute. Hararnama, Hararnama, Hararnama eva kevalam kulo nashteva 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 gatiranyata. Let's see. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other alternative, there is no other alternative, there is no other alternative for self-realization in this age of Kali. So if you would like to taste the supreme beauty, if you would like to experience the supreme beauty at every second, then you simply have to absorb yourself 24 hours a day, constantly chanting these names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this way, you will completely, totally, madly fall in love with Krishna. And nothing in this material world will be able to attract you away from the lotus feet of that beautiful Lord. Even if you were offered all the wealth of this world, you would not take it. Unless you could engage it in the service of Krishna. Even if you were offered unlimited power in exchange, you would not take it. Unless you could engage it in the service of Krishna. So in this way, kindly take this hint of how to achieve the ultimate success in life. Do not remain a failure in this material world, a slave of birth, death, old age and disease. Give the illusory energy a good kick. and become Krishna conscious. So I can ask now if there's any questions. I'll be happy to try to answer your questions.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
About chanting the holy names, if this is the way through which we will gradually start to taste the beauty of Krishna, then someone may say that, well, I chant but I don't feel anything.
Yes.
Et ma esitasin sellise küsimuse, et kui need pühade nimede kordamine on see tee selle Krishna ilu maismeseni, siis mõni võib öelda, et ma kordan need pühased nimesed, aga ma ei tunne midagi.
Sometimes we become sick. And we go to the doctor. And he gives us a prescription. He gives us the medicine that will cure us from our disease. So we pop the pill in our mouth. But we don't feel any different. Does that mean the medicine is not effective? No. That simply means that we have to be patient. The medicine takes time to act. It's not that one becomes instantly cured. You simply have to be patient. Follow the doctor's orders. And then in due course of time, you'll recover from the disease. So in the same way, the spiritual master is the doctor. And the holy names are the medicine. At the time of initiation, the spiritual master initiates the disciple into the Hare Krishna mantra. And the disciple, under the guidance of the spiritual master, absorbs himself in chanting Hare Krishna. But just as the medicine gradually acts, the holy name also gradually acts. And if you consider how diseased we actually are, you can understand why it takes a while to recover. We have a disease which is in Sanskrit language is called Bhava Rog. That disease that we have is called the repetition of birth and death. We have been suffering this disease for countless lifetimes. Actually, it is so countless, it is infinite. For an infinite number of lifetimes, we have been suffering this disease of Bhava Rog. So it's very, very chronic disease. So it takes time, even though the medicine is most powerful. It takes time to recover from this Bhava Rog. But if you take the medicine given by the spiritual master, if you carefully and faithfully follow his instructions, the good news is this. Your recovery is 100% guaranteed. You simply have to put your faith in the words of the spiritual master. Follow his instructions. And you will become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So much so that Krishna will personally come and reveal himself to you. All right, I'm ready for the next question. So everything is clearly understood. Everyone is fully situated now on the pathway to perfection. No one is feeling any impediments. No one is finding any obstacles on that pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Shishi Gornitai Shishi Radhadamadar Ki Jai. Actually, I have a policy. If you don't ask me questions, I will ask you questions. I will pick one of you and I will ask you a question. But it's much easier to be the one who asks the question than it is to be the one who is asked the question. Here we go, here's a question here, yes. Yes, very nice question. This is a very good question. Krishna has answered this in Bhagavad Gita. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalamastaram tatas tato nayam yaitad atman yeva vishangniya. Wherever and wherever, from whatever and wherever your mind may go flying away. You simply must grab it and bring it back under the control of the self. Have you ever watched a mother discipline her naughty child? I saw at the airport that the ticket agent had taken the paper tickets from the lady and put it in a little container. Those coupons have to be retained by the airline. But her naughty son kept grabbing the coupon and taking it back. And every time he would grab the coupon, the polite airline agent would take it back and put it in the container again. It must have happened 4 or 5 times. That naughty child kept taking the paper tickets and keeping them. But finally, when the mother very strongly told the child to stop that, then the child stopped, you see. So you must become like a mother. You must see that your mind is like a child and you must be like the mother. Every time your mind acts funny by going away from Hare Krishna meditation, you must say, my dear mind, why are you going away and wasting your time in nonsense? Come back to Hare Krishna consciousness. You have to discipline your mind. There are two types of persons. Goswami and Godas. Goswami means one who masters the mind. He tells the mind what to think. He is called Goswami. And there is another person, he is known as Godas. He lets his mind do whatever it wants to do all the time. Such a person is a slave of his mind. He is a miserable and unhappy wretch. So don't be a miserable, unhappy wretch. Become a Goswami. Keep your mind under your control. When you want your mind to stay fixed on the Hare Krishna mantra, your mind must learn to obey you and not be like that naughty boy who kept taking the tickets away from the travel agent, the airline agent. Any more questions?
Prabhupada asked that in Vedas it is said to become happy you need to follow Yajna, Tapa, Sattva. Dhamma, Tapa, Yajna. Can you comment on this? To be happy you need to follow Dhamma, Yajna, Tapa.
So you have to do Dhamma means charity?
What is that word? Dana? Charity?
That is charity. I'm translating for you. Dana means charity, yagya, and tapa.
Yeah, those three things. Dana, yagya, and tapa. How are they to be utilized?
To become happy, one has to do that thing.
Yes. Yes, if you want actual happiness, you must engage in dana, yagya, and tapa. That's a bit. If you remain a greasy, lazy miser, you will never be happy. You must give in charity. So that charity should be given to the Krishna consciousness movement. And you must do austerities also. If you simply try to enjoy your senses, you will never be happy. So, that austerity is, you rise early and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And similarly, we are meant to do yagya, we are meant to sacrifice. So there is no greater sacrifice than chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in that way, if you do dhana, yagya and tapa in Krishna consciousness, you will become the most happy person in the whole world. That's a fact. If you try to do what I'm telling you, if you sincerely try to do what I've just explained to you, you will experience that this process works. The only case in which this process does not work is when you do not work the process. If you work the process, the process works. That's a fact. Any other questions? Yes.
What part of our Krishna consciousness in different level have to
what part of our Krishna consciousness?
Did you say part?
Part yes. of our Krishna consciousness.
Part?
Yes. We have to develop relationship between devotees.
What yes, yes. How? What part does that play in our Krishna consciousness?
Yes, in those steps, in Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, different levels.
Yes.
What part?
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Yes. The there are three levels. The devotee and the Supreme Lord. What is that relationship at the different levels?
Yes.
Yes. You have an answer or are you going to clarify the question? Yes. Actually, the relationship with Krishna begins at the Kanishtha Adhikari stage. Because the Kanishtha Adhikari, he knows that I am the servant of Krishna. He knows that. So, and he tries to, when he comes to the temple, therefore he bows down before Krishna. So he is beginning, his relationship with Krishna begins even at the Kanishtha stage. But as long as he remains Kanishtha, he is not very developed in his relationship. Because Krishna explains to Arjuna in the Adi Purana that one who is claiming to be my devotee, he is not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. The one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is advanced in Krishna consciousness. So, the one who is devotee of the devotee, that is called Majjham Adhikari. He learns how to love the devotees of Krishna. So that is developed stage of relationship with Krishna. Now Krishna is recognizing, yes, this person is becoming my real devotee now. And then on higher level, Uttama Adhikari, one then becomes completely perfect in his relationship with Krishna. And he becomes reinstated in his eternal rasa with the Lord in the spiritual world. So there's the introductory level, Kanishtha Adhikari. There the advanced level, Majjham Adhikari. And there's the perfectional level, Uttama Adhikari. Any other questions? So everyone satisfied now? All questions are answered. Now's your chance if you have a question. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I won't be back for many, many months. If you had a question you wanted to ask, now's your chance. All right. All right. Okay.
Is it possible to kill insects in flat of Grihastha?
Is it possible to
kill insects?
You want to become an insect in your next life? Actually, one must try every possible means to avoid killing anything. You know the story of who asked this question? Was that you or someone else? You asked the question? Do you know the story of Magrari the hunter? Do you know the story of Magrari the hunter? He was not prepared to kill even a little ant. So Vaishnav means he doesn't want to kill anything. He does everything possible to avoid killing even a little tiny insect. That is Vaishnava. Any more questions? All right. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
ISKCON Estonia devotees Ki Jai.